Well, turning your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 10, we're continuing, of course, our study of the history of Israel. We're almost through. We've been looking at the kings. We've seen Saul, who was the first king, David, the second king, and now Solomon, who is the third king. And, of course, Solomon is the one that's really famous. He ruled Israel at the height of all its power. Solomon was famous not only for being the son of David. That would be great to be just the son of David, but he was famous for building the temple. But there were some other things. He was known for, I think, three things: his wealth, his wives, and his wisdom. We'll talk about that as we go through it. This morning, we're going to see several of these areas, especially his wealth and his wisdom. The Queen of Sheba, and we'll talk about who she is in just a minute, she comes to Solomon because she heard of his greatness. She said she heard not only of his wealth and his power, but she heard about his wisdom and she heard about his God. So she said, I want to go see this. And when she saw him, it was amazing. She got there and she said, the half was not even told to me of what all this is. And there's a lot of things as we look at this passage. There's several things I want you to think about, some questions I want to raise. How should we live and how should we view our lives with all that we have? Think about everything that we have, everything that God's given us. How do we view our lives? There's a second thing that ties in with that is, what should we be known for? Because, see, Solomon was famous for being the wisest man. He was famous for being so rich. He was famous for all this. What do you want to be famous for? What should you be known for? And if somebody said to you right now, what marks you as different from anyone else? What do you stand out for? What are you famous for? And then finally, how can we keep from failure? And the reason I bring that up is when we look at this chapter, we say, you know, that Solomon's got it made. He's doing so good. Everything's rolling. Well, at the very end, I'm going to show you some things that we're going to see it's not rolling. And that Solomon's in trouble, even though it doesn't look like it. And we're going to see that he's going to fail, and we'll see why. So there's some things that we'll see as we go through it. Well, you know, one of the famous sayings that's been around for a long time is that everybody's going to be famous for about 15 minutes. And, you know, people say you're going to get your 15 minutes worth of fame. I saw a cartoon the other day. There was a little guy standing, and he says, what if I'm famous, but I miss my 15 minutes? Well, you know, people want to be famous. People are striving for it. There are people all over this world doing everything they can for significance, so they can be famous. And so let me ask you a question. Do you want to be famous? Do you? And if so, what do you want to be famous for? What do you want to be known for? If your life ended right now, what would you be famous for? I want to give you a truth. The key is not fame. The key is faithfulness. You want to be known for being a faithful person. This morning we're going to get a good look at fame. Solomon and his fame. He was famous for his wisdom, his wealth, even his God. The Queen of Sheba makes this long journey to see him. She hears about his fame. We'll see who she is. As we study this section, we want to get a good look at Solomon. He's the wisest man who ever lived. Now, I've got a question for you to think about. Does wisdom guarantee that you will not sin? Does wisdom guarantee that you will not fail? I mean, think about that. Solomon's the wisest man that ever lived, but I've already told you that he's about to fail. So we realize that it doesn't. What is important in your life? What about fame and fortune? I mentioned this in Sunday school, but I was talking to a college senior about 3 years ago, a person that was like February, March, they were about to graduate. They came into my office and I was talking to him and I said, tell me, what do you want to do with life? And he said, well, I don't know. I said, what do you really want? He said, I'll tell you what I really want. My goal in life is to be rich. That's my goal. I said, really? I said, really rich? Oh, yeah, I want to be rich. That's my goal. I'm just going to try to make as much money as I can make. And I said to him, well, I understand that. I'm going to tell you this. You're going to have a very sad life. See, I want you to understand, it's not fame and fortune that counts. See, what really counts is your relationships. Your relationship with God, your relationship with your family, and your relationship with your friends. That's the keys in life. Well, let's look at Solomon. Let's see his life. When you think of Solomon, you see, oh, he's the man who built the temple. There's the dedication of the temple. He's built his palace. He's had these other buildings. He's had all these things. He's become more and more wealthy, and he's been known as the man who worships God. Because he's not known just because he's rich. He's known that he worships the true God of Israel. And we're going to see that this woman, this Queen of Sheba, comes. Now, she's wealthy. She is very wealthy. Watch what happens when she comes. As we look at this passage, we see Solomon's wealth and his wisdom and his worship. But we begin to see his failure. Now, there's a truth. The Bible says, take heed lest you think you stand, you fall. If you came to Solomon and you said to him, now Solomon, you're pretty wise. Oh yeah, yeah, I'm pretty much the wisest man who ever lived. Good. You're pretty rich. Oh, I'm about the richest man who's ever lived. Well, let me ask you this, Solomon. You love God, right? Oh, I love God. Do you think that you will ever turn away from God and worship false gods? He would say, oh, no, 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 no. Take heed, lest you think you stand, you fall. Because that's what he did. And in your life right now, that we could say to you, do you think you'll ever do this sin, this sin, this sin? You'd say, oh, no, no, I would never do that. Take heed, lest you think you stand, you fall. Don't ever say what you would not do. You put yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time, you will do anything. So be careful. We'll see this in the life of Solomon. Let me give you the outline of the chapter. The Queen of Sheba is going to come visit Solomon. So let's see the outline. First of all, she visits Solomon. That's the first 13 verses. She comes to test him. She's got a whole list of questions. You know, she's written them down. She's got questions she's going to ask him. She's very impressed. And then Solomon gives gifts and she gives him gifts. I think it's kind of amazing. She gives him a bunch of stuff and he gives her a bunch of stuff. They're just swapping out money. That's what they're doing. And look at the second part. Solomon's palace, and we see his riches, and he gets these golden chills and his throne and his drinking vessels and everything. And then the last part of the chapter is Solomon accumulates. We see his wealth, his chariots, his horses. We're actually going to slip into chapter 11 right at the very end this morning to see one other thing. Now, as we look at this passage, listen to me. I think you will be amazed at his wealth. As we look at this passage, you're going to be amazed at his wisdom. But as we look at this passage, you're going to also be amazed at the wrong things that he does. Solomon goes contrary to the word of God. He directly violates the scripture. Now, every king, when they became a king in Israel, it was his responsibility to make a copy of the Bible. Usually we'd say that was the first five books of the Bible. They call that the Torah, the law, the first five books. Kings would copy that, and they had that. That's how they were ruled. We're going to see that he openly violates the scripture, and he knows it. He knows he's doing wrong. How could the wisest man who ever lived do this? Wisdom is no guarantee that you're going to do what is right. Wisdom is no guarantee that you will obey God. The most important thing in this world is your obedience, not your wisdom. This chapter shows the beginning of the end of Solomon. We'll see it actually at the very end of the chapter. Now, let's see what happens. Sheba's going to visit him. She hears of his power. She hears of his greatness. She hears of his wealth. She hears even of his God. Let's see what happens. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. Now, when the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with difficult questions. Now, it says that here's the queen of Sheba. Best we can understand, she was living in what is Yemen, which is southern Arabia, which is about 12,000 miles away. That's a long way for her to travel. She didn't just come in one chariot. She came in a caravan. We're going to see it in a minute. She's coming with all this stuff and her soldiers and money and possessions. She's made this long trip to see the king. Notice what it says. When she heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. See, she didn't just hear that Solomon was wise, and she just didn't hear that Solomon was rich. She heard about his God. She heard that he worshipped the true God, the God of heaven and earth who controlled all things, the name of the Lord. So she's coming, and Solomon, of course, was known not only for his wealth, but for his worship. And that was the goal of the nation of Israel. The goal of the nation of Israel was that the surrounding peoples would know of the true God and the Messiah and Savior. See, sometimes people think that Israel was just there as this great nation and everybody would come to them to find out. Israel's job was to spread the word about the true God. You realize we have the same responsibility. Now, we're not Israel. We're the body of Christ. We're the church. But we're ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech through us. We get to tell people. We get to share in this community. There are many of you college students today. You're going on that campus, 20-something thousand students, and you have the privilege and responsibility of making known the truth of the living God. You know what you get to tell them? Listen to this. You get to tell them that Jesus Christ died on the cross for them, paid for their sins, and rose again, and offers to them eternal life, an eternal relationship with God forever. And it's free. It doesn't cost anything. It's a gift. All they do is believe. They trust in Jesus. You get to tell them that. There are people telling them all kind of junk. You get to tell them the truth. You get to tell them about grace. It's because it's by grace that you have been saved. Through faith, it's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. She comes to Solomon and she came to test him with difficult questions. Now, she wanted to put him to the test. Now, the best we can see is it's hard to figure out, did she just want to trick him up? Maybe she was a little bit jealous. Maybe she said, I don't believe anybody can be that smart, and I don't believe anybody can be that rich. I'm pretty rich myself. I'm going up there and check all this out. It says she came with difficult questions. In fact, sometimes that Hebrew word for question can be riddle. You can see her. She's going, this would be a great question. Nobody knows the answer to this. Let's write this one down. How about this one? Let's see if he can answer this one. So she probably put down a number of questions. She thought, I'm going to give them to him and say, okay, see if you can answer these if you're so smart, if you're the wisest man. Look what happened. So she came to Jerusalem with a very large retinue. And when the camels came, with camels carrying spices, very much gold, precious stone, when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So she came, and you know, just imagine the uproar that when all of a sudden they can see him coming, and people come into Solomon and say, look, somebody's coming, and they must be rich because there's this huge caravan. All these people are coming. I believe it's the queen. Somebody told us the Queen of Sheba's coming to visit you. And here it comes into the city of Jerusalem, this big caravan, all these people, all this money. And here she comes. And it says that she brought all these spices and gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. There's two things that we can think about this. First of all, we're not sure, did she know the answers and she just wanted to see if he knew? Or did she want the answers to the things that she didn't know? That she's saying, I don't know the answers. I want to know. This has been on my heart. Well, look what happened. Verse 3. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was hidden from the king which he did not explain to her. You can almost see him going, oh, that's an easy one. Let me hear. Come here, I'll tell you. Right? Solomon knew everything. See, Solomon was so wise. If you remember back in one of the earlier chapters, that Solomon went and he classified and looked at all the plants and all the animals, and he could say, I'll show you all the different kind of birds. I'll show you all the different kind of cows. I'll show you all the different kind of plants. I'll show you all the different kind of trees. He knew all of this. He had it all lined out. He was the wisest man. And so when she would ask him a question, it said that he answered everything. He answered all her questions. She'd say, well, what about this? He'd go, well, here's how this fits. Now, I want you to notice something. Look how the verse says this. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was hidden from the king, which he did not explain to her. That has that idea that God is helping him know, because see, God is the one that gave him the wisdom. He was a learned man, but when the questions came, God gave him these answers. He knew. He knew what to say. Now, watch her response. When the Queen of Sheba perceived all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his servants, the attendance of his waiters, their attire, his cupbearers, and his stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. When she saw all this, she said, whoa, I see your house, I see the palace, I see the temple, I see your table, I see your workers, I see what they're dressed, I see all your food, I see everything. She said, there's no more spirit in her. That means she was overwhelmed. It was almost like she said, wait a minute, this is just too much. This is too much. In fact, she says, this was greater than she could have imagined. There was no more spirit in her. It has this idea that she came to test him. She came to see if it was really true. In fact, on the way, she probably said things like, I don't think anybody's that smart. I don't think anybody's that rich. I don't think anybody's that wise. I think when we get there, we'll probably be a little disappointed. When she got there, she said, this is bigger than I thought. It's better than I thought. He's smarter than I thought. He's richer than I thought. It's beyond what I could have, I just never thought it would be like this. What did she say? Verse 6. Then she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. It was true what they told me. Nevertheless, I did not believe the report. I didn't think it could be true. Until I came and my eyes have seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. You exceed in wisdom and prosperity, the report which I heard. She said, when I got here, listen, I just thought it would be good, but I didn't think it would be great. I didn't think it would be like this. And what I heard about you is incredible, but it's not even half of what you really like. Now, I want you to notice what she's saying. You're the best. There's nobody like you. I never experienced anything. I mean, I heard you were great, but you're even greater than I thought you were. And let me stop for a minute. I want to remind you of something. Be careful. There is danger in hearing how great you are. See, and I look at this room, and I know a lot of you. There are some of you in this room that are so smart and so sharp. And there's some of you that are great athletes. And there's some of you that can take words and just put them together. And people go, how did you write that? That's beautiful. And there's some of you can take numbers and letters and you can put things and you can say, figure that one out. And I go, I can't even write it down. Well, let's figure it out. And some of you guys are so brilliant. And some of you will be famous someday. But be careful, because you're going to hear that you're great. You're going to hear that you're smart. You're going to hear that you're good. Many will tell you you're the best. Be careful to realize this, that everything you have, your gifts, talents, and abilities, they're all from God. It's His grace that He has given this to you. It is not for your glory. It is for His glory. And so whenever somebody would come up to you and say, whoa, that you are so good at that, you should say, thank you, but it's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. You are so fast. You're the fastest person on the team. It's just the grace of God. You make the best grades. It's just the grace of God. Nobody else can sell that stuff like you can. It's just the grace of God. Everything you have came to you from God. Your time, your possessions, your abilities, your spiritual gifts, your talents, your intellect, your opportunities, everything is from God. So when people tell you how good you are, and they will, because you're good, just say, thank you. It's the grace of God. Look what she goes on to say. How blessed are your men, verse 8, how blessed are your men, how blessed are though your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. She's really saying, boy, you're really something. But notice verse 9. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore He made you king to do justice and righteousness. It says, blessed be the Lord. It comes back down. She recognizes that the real blessing there is from God. It is God who delighted in Solomon and put him on the throne. It is God who loves Israel and allows them to have that great king. I want you to understand that. I imagine Solomon told her when she was saying, you've got this and you've got this and you've got this. He said, yes, yes, yes. But see, I went to God when I was younger and I said, God, I need wisdom. And He gave me the wisdom and He gave me these riches and He gave me this power and He gave me all this. It's all the grace of God. And that's how you respond when you make those hundreds, when you get that job, when you sell that product, when you score, when you do this, when you do that, when you're the best at what you do, when you're good at what you do, give God all the glory. He gave you the gifts, talents, and abilities. Notice what she says. She said, God loved Israel, and He made you king to do justice and righteousness. See, Solomon was a just and righteous king. There's a truth that you realize that when those in power do what is right, people rejoice. When those in power do what is wrong, people hide. One of the Proverbs says that. It says that when kings are good, the people rejoice. When kings are bad, the people hide. Just look in the world. When the nations that are governed by godly people and good people, the people rejoice. When nations are ruled by evil people, the people are hiding. Solomon was a man who ruled in justice and righteousness. Just realize, everything you have comes from God. What are your abilities? What are your strengths? What about your money, your possessions, your intellect, your time? They're all from God. And when the praise comes to you, just say, it's just the grace of God. It's just the grace of God. Well, look what it goes on to say. Look what she does. She gave the king 120 talents of gold and a very great amount of spices and precious stones. Never again did such abundance of spices come in as that which the Queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. She gave him 120 talents of gold. We think that was around $27 million worth of gold. And then it says she gave all these spices. And in fact, it says nobody ever gave as many spices. I mean, out of all the spices ever given, she gave the most spices. Now, right in the middle of this, the writer, whoever wrote 1 Kings, and we don't know who wrote it, says, okay, let me remind you of what else we had. Verse 11, also the kings of Hiram, which brought gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir a very great number of algum trees and precious stones. The king made of the algum trees supports for the house of the Lord, for the house of the king's house, for lyres and harps, for singers. Such algum trees have not come in again, nor have they been seen to this day. He went on to say, by the way, by all that spices, we also got from this special tree called the algum tree, which they used to build some of the stuff, and they used to make musical instruments with it. And we got a lot of that too. That's what he's saying. So she's given him all of this. What does Solomon do? King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire, which she requested, beside what he gave her according to his royal bounty. She then turned and went to her own land together with her servants. Now, while she was there, she was giving all this stuff to the king. So he said, well, look, I'm going to give you a whole bunch of stuff. And so he gave it back to her. And then it says, not only did he give stuff from the kingdom, he went to his own royal bounty, his own money, his own possessions, and he gave it to her. And she left. And it's like she left rich. She came rich. She left rich. She gave a whole bunch of stuff. She got a whole bunch of stuff back. The whole idea is showing this wealth of these people. But she is so impressed with Solomon. She saw the glory of his kingdom, his wealth, his wisdom, but she praises the God of Israel. Always God should get the glory in your life. Whether it's money, power, possessions, fame, glory, it doesn't matter what comes into your life, give God the glory. He should get it. Now, the rest of the chapter is going to be his money and his possessions. Let's see. We'll go through it fairly quickly. Look what he says. He says, now the weight of gold which came into Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. Best we can believe or understand, that's about $153 million worth of gold every year coming into Solomon. It goes on to say, that's not counting besides what the traders and the wares of the merchants and the kings of the Arabs and of the governors of the country. He said, that's not even counting what other people brought in. And then what did Solomon do with some of this gold? Solomon made 200 large shields of beaten gold using 600 shekels of gold on each shield, large shield. Then he made 300 shields of beaten gold using 3 minas of gold on each shield. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Now, these shields were incredible. He made some big shields, 200 large shields. They weighed 7.5 pounds apiece. He made 300 smaller shields that weighed 3.5 pounds apiece. And he put them in this. It wasn't his palace, but it was a house of the forest of Lebanon, which was sort of a place that he judged people. And he put these shields up all around the walls, golden shields. Now you say, whoa, isn't that great? Well, you realize that later on, when the kings of Israel fell away from God, that God allowed the Babylonians and the Assyrians to come in, and they came in and took all the shields away. So it didn't last. Possessions never last. It doesn't matter if you're the richest person in the world, they're all temporary. What lasts is your relationship with God, your relationship with your family, and your relationship with your friends. People in the Word of God go on forever. Well, look at the next thing, because now you can see his throne. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with refined gold. Now, he made this throne that he sits on. It was made out of ivory, and then he covered it over with gold. Now, look what it goes on to say. It said, there were 6 steps to the throne and a round top to the throne at its rear, and arms on each side of the seat, and 2 lions standing beside the arms. So Solomon would go up this throne. There were 6 steps coming up there. He'd sit down on this big throne, had these arms, and had this big arch thing in the back, and then on each side with 2 big lions, statues of lions. And so he would sit there. Now, it goes on to say that on these 6 steps going down, at each side of the step, there were 2 more lions and 2 more lions and 2 more lions. There were 12 lions total. So if you can imagine walking up to see Solomon on his throne, there are these 12 lions lining the steps coming up. He's sitting on this big ivory throne covered over with gold, sitting there going, how you like my throne? Pretty good throne. Yeah, it's a big throne. Nice throne. Yeah. You think I'm smart? Look at my throne. But look what he says. Notice verse 20. 12 lions were standing there on the 6 steps on one side and on the other. Nothing like it was made for any other kingdom. Nothing ever been like that before. Now, notice the wealth. All King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None of it was silver. It was not even considered valuable in the days of Solomon. I mean, can you imagine Solomon? Everything's gold. And somebody says, you want some silver? He says, I don't use silver. Thank you. Get that out of here. I only use gold. I don't use silver. I'm too rich for silver. I'm the richest man that ever lived. Why do I need silver? It was considered not valuable in that day. And then he says the ships. That the king had the ships at sea and the ships of Taurus, and they would go and they'd come back every 3 years and they would bring gold, silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks. He brought all these things back in. And then notice this. King Solomon became greater than all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. When Solomon was king of Israel, Israel was the leading nation in the whole world. He was the richest man and the wisest man and the most powerful nation in the world, Solomon. Look what happened. People would want to come. They'd come from all over just to see him. All the earth was seeking the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. They all came to see what he had to say, and they wanted to come test him, same as the Queen of Sheba did. She came to test him. People want to come and find out what he said. Of course, if you come to see the king, you can't come empty-handed. Now, he's the richest man in the world. He's got this big throne. He's got all the money in the world. But you got to bring him a present when you come, right? So what does it say? They brought every man his gift, articles of silver and gold and garments and weapons and spices and mules and horses, so much. So year by year. So you couldn't come just see Solomon and just say, I'd like to see Solomon. You better bring a present. Now, everything looks so good. I mean, you'd say, well, I don't know how it could get any better. He's the wisest man who ever lived. He's the most powerful man who's lived right now. He's the richest man. I mean, he's got more gold than anybody could even imagine. He's got all of this stuff. What could be wrong? Well, I want you to realize there's a problem here, and it's going to lead to his failure. At the end of this chapter, as we begin the end of this chapter and the beginning of the next chapter, you're going to see some things. You're going to see how the wisest man who ever lived goes contrary to the Word of God. And say, how are you going to keep from failing? You have to obey the Scripture. Knowing what is right is not enough. How many of you have known what something is right and still did wrong? You don't have to raise your hand. I know you do. I do too. We know what's right. We know we're not supposed to do something. We know we are supposed to do something or not do something. And some things we know we're supposed to do, we don't do. Some things we know we're not supposed to do, we do. It's not a question of knowledge. It's not a question of wisdom. It's a question of obedience. Solomon doesn't obey the Bible. I want to read something to you. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 17. You don't have to turn there. Verses 14, 15, 16, and 17. This was information for the king. Now, it was written before there were kings. And the Bible is saying, when you go into the land, God's going to give you a king. Here's what the king should not do. He says, when you enter the land, he'll give you a king, and I'll set a king up on the throne. And then he says this. Here's what the king is not to do. He says, moreover, the king shall not multiply horses for himself, nor shall he cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. He says, when a king gets into power, don't get a whole bunch of horses, and especially don't go back to Egypt to get the horses. Why? Because horses meant army. He was not to trust his army. He was to trust God. So he says, don't get a bunch of horses. It goes on to say, he shall not multiply wives for himself, for else his heart will be turned away. He was not supposed to get a whole bunch of wives, because usually wives were alliances with other kings. That was for his protection. He's not supposed to trust his alliances. He's supposed to trust God. It said if you get a bunch of foreign women who didn't believe the same way that Solomon believed, they would turn his heart away, or any king. And then the third thing, he was not to greatly increase silver and gold. Now, you already know that we've been reading this. He's already increased what? Silver and gold. In fact, he's got so much gold, he says, I don't even need silver. I'm rich. I want you to see what else he increases. Look at verse 26. Now, King Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, and he stationed them in chariot cities and with the king in Jerusalem. Wait a minute. He's getting a bunch of what? A bunch of horses? He's not supposed to get horses. Look at verse 27. The king made silver as common as stones in Jerusalem. He made cedars as plentiful as sycamore trees that are in the lowlands. He's not supposed to have all that gold and silver, but he's got it. Look at verse 28. And Solomon's import of horses was from where? Egypt. Where was he not supposed to go get horses? Egypt. Egypt and Kew, and the king's merchants procured them from Kew for a price, and chariots were imported for Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, a horse for about 150, and by the same means they exported them to the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Arameans. Now, I want you to understand, he's going contrary to the Bible. He was not supposed to multiply horses, he did. He was not supposed to multiply gold, and he did. He was not supposed to multiply wives. You say, well, I hadn't seen that yet. Look at chapter 11, verse 1. Now, King Solomon loved many. foreign women along with the daughters of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonite, Hittite. He went and got all these foreign women who they were alliances, but they didn't believe the way he believed. Look what happened. Verse 3. He had 700 wives. That's pretty good many princesses. And 300 concubines. That's pretty good many. That's 1,000 total. Notice the next part of the verse. And his wives turned his heart away. He violated the scripture. Don't trust horses, you got to trust God. He got horses. Don't trust gold, you got to trust God. He got gold. Don't get these alliances with these other kings and their daughters, because if you do, you marry foreign daughters, they'll turn your heart away. He did it, and they turned his heart away. Take heed, lest you think you stand, you fall. Obedience is the key. You have knowledge. You know scripture. If you come countryside and we study the Bible verse by verse, passage by passage, over and over, you're going to get knowledge and understanding of the scripture. The key is you're going to have to live it out. That's the key. What have we seen? The Queen of Sheba came. She wanted to visit Solomon. She heard of his gold and his worship and his wealth and his wisdom and his God. She tested him. She said, it's not even half. You're just amazing. She gave him gifts. He gave her gifts. Solomon had the riches, the golden shields, the gold and everything, but he accumulated horses, wives, and wealth. Let me give you some applications. The first one is this. Realize that all we have comes from God. Everything that we have comes from God. Your gifts, your talents, your abilities, your possessions, they're all from God. So two things. Number one, don't get caught up in pride. Don't believe your own press. Don't believe that anybody tells you how great you are, that you're that great. Realize it's the grace of God. Prof. Hendricks, when I was at Dallas Seminary, he used to say this, because, you know, as pastors, at the end, I'll be back at the door. People walk out. Sometimes people come by and they go, hey, good job, good job. He said, you'll be standing at the door as a pastor, and they'll come by and they'll say, ooh, I learned that. That was so good. Thank you. Don't think that you're something special. He said this, praise is like perfume. Smells good, but don't swallow it. And it's true. When people praise you, go, thank you very much. It's the grace of God. Thank you very much. It's the grace of God. There's a second aspect, and that is don't get caught up in materialism. Because, see, that's what Solomon did. It's so easy to want more and more and more and more. Our culture, our world says that, you know, when Solomon was an old man, he wrote a book called Ecclesiastes. He wrote that book, and he says, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. He says, everything that I've accumulated means nothing. The goal of life is not fame and fortune. The goal of life is not money and possessions. The goal in life is not to be rich. The goal in life is to have your eternal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, your relationship with your family, and your relationship with your friends. You grow in those three areas, you got it made. Everything else is just temporary. Second, let's be known as those who worship God. What you going to be famous for? Some of you are going to be famous for a lot of things. I'm going to tell you what. Some of you in this room are going to be famous. Famous in the world. You'll be known. But make sure that when people are knowing you, that they also know that you stand for Jesus Christ. That you're famous for belonging to the living God. That you've trusted in Him and Him alone as your Savior. And that even though you may have some skills that have set you apart from other people, it's all the grace of God. Be famous for your faithfulness and your faith. Last but not least, let's live by the Word of God. Let's obey the Bible. Because see, wisdom by itself is not enough. Just knowing what's right is not enough. Solomon was the wisest man. He knew it all, but he didn't live it out. In fact, he actually went contrary to the Scripture. Obedience to the Word keeps us from failing. May we worship our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. May we live by the Word of God, knowing that everything we have comes from Him, and we want to live so that He gets the glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you for these great truths, Lord. First of all, Lord, everything we have comes from you. Thank you for that, Lord. And we just don't want to get caught up in the praise. We know that Lord, many in this room are outstanding, and they have great skills and gifts and talents and abilities that you've given them. And Lord, that's great, and we thank you for that. But Lord, help them to realize that it's all your grace, and not get caught up in materialism and not get caught up in praise and fame, but to give you all the honor and all the glory. Lord, may we be known as those who worship you, who stand for you, who live by faith and are faithful people. And Lord, thank you for the Bible. May we live by it, knowing that that's the key for our lives. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.